Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezra. We are studying the book of Ezra. Ezra was a scribe from among our people, Israel. Ezra was one of those who returned to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the temple in the land after so many years. The remnant of Israel had been in Babel, in Babylon. We have covered Ezra chapter 1. We have covered Ezra chapter 2. And we notice at the end of Ezra chapter 2 that nearly 50,000 Jewish people return to the city of Jerusalem. And now in chapter 3, we are going to see some of the things that have happened to these Jewish men, women, children that have returned from Babel to the city of Jerusalem, to the land of Israel for the purpose of rebuilding the house of God. And so I'm reading the third chapter, 13 verses in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jotzadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offering morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by numbers according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil them unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Yafo according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Jotzadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Yeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Chandad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sung together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. You know, it is amazing, when I was preparing for the message, to think of what those nearly 50,000 Jewish people who came from Babylon to the promised land because God gave Koresh, Cyrus, a call, a message. You tell the people of Israel, you tell the Jewish people, who is from among you wishes to go back to the promised land to rebuild the house of the Lord? Let him go. And those nearly 50,000 Hebrews, Israelis, Jewish men and women and children, left everything they have had in Babel and went forward to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the temple there in that city. When I was thinking about that, it really moved my heart what it meant for them now to go back to their homeland. To go back to the land of our own forefathers, that God had promised the people of Israel that he is going to bless them in this land. But now that they are returning, there are only such a small amount of people who are returning back to the land. The vast majority of the Jewish people have remained in Babel. This third chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, teaches us a very important lesson. It's applied to you and I today, as believers in our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who are part of the assembly of the church of our Lord. You see, when Israel, when those Jewish people returned to the land was in a ruined condition. Everything was broken. They left everything and they wanted so badly and eagerly to come to the place where God set his name. And we learn that there is a possibility to start things afresh, even if everything seemed to be broken to pieces. It is possible in your lives and in mine that we can start afresh in our relationship with our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, even when things look so dark and terrible. God is in a business of restoration. But we must be occupied with God's word. It is the word of God that gives us instruction, and we will see this, that they didn't seek any other human opinion, but they wanted the word of God in their lives. Thirdly, we will learn from this chapter that not only that we are to be occupied with God's word when there is a restoration to him, we also must be occupied with God's son, the Messiah himself, who loved us and gave himself for us, who became a sacrifice for us when he died for us on the tree. And fourthly, we can learn from this chapter that even though there is a ruin among the people of God at large, we must be those that are builders of the house of God. In Israel's time, it was physically building the house of God. In our present day dispensation, we are responsible to build the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the ecclesia, the body of Messiah. Four things we learn from this chapter. When things are messed up, there is a possibility to start again. We must be occupied with God's word. We must be occupied with God's son. We must be occupied with building the things of God based upon the written word of God. And let's see what the Lord has before us. Notice that the chapter divides itself into really two sections. Verses 1 to 6 speaks about the building of the altar itself. And verses 7 to 13 is occupied with the building of the foundation of the temple. First of all, it is the altar. Secondly, it is the temple. First of all, is the way of worship. Secondly, is the house of God. And even within those two sections, we have subsections in verses 1 to 6. And first of all, verses 1, 2, and 3, they begin by setting up the altar. In Hebrew, we call it Mizbeach. Upon the altar, the sacrifice is laid. And the only way of approach to God is only on the basis of the sacrifice that is laid upon the altar. And so notice what we read here in these first three verses, how God's altar must be set up first. He began in verse 1, we read that Israel, as one man, gathered together and they began to motivate each other, but they worked together. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, that the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Now this is important. Can you imagine? They are coming from far. Israel had been already taken captive for about 70 years. The temple was destroyed for about 50 years already. And now they are coming to the city of Jerusalem. But they began, in spite of the ruin, in spite when everything was falling apart, they gathered themselves together. Notice it says here in verse 1 that the people gather themselves together. Notice the word as one man to Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. Come from the Hebrew word echad. Echad means compound units. They are united together. You know, we often express the Shema, Shema Israel Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That word Echad is a composition of united people, united persons of the Godhead in the Shema. But here the people of Israel are gathering together as one man. Why there are so many problems among the people of God often? Because the people of God don't work together as one man. Everyone pull to his own way. Everyone has his own desire, no submissiveness to the Lord. And when we all pull apart, how can we work together? Had these people would come to the land of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, and not work together, they will never be successful. They will never honor the Lord. And you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, here they gather together. And when did they gather together? It says here, when the seventh month was come. In the Hebrew calendar, the seventh month is the month of Tishrei. If you read in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, three feasts occurred on the seventh month. The Feast of Trumpet on the first day of the month of Tishrei. The Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of the month of Tishrei. And the Feast of Booth on the 15th day of the month of Tishrei. In other words, they were anticipating a full restoration of the people of Israel. And therefore they were gathered together on the seventh month, the month of Tishrei in Hebrew. And here we see that they gathered together as one man. Now turn with me for a moment to Psalm 133. There is a song that we often love to sing, and that song has to do with the unity, togetherness that the people of God are exhorted to have. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Notice the word together. And then he said it is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. And listen to the last portion of Psalm 133, for there the Lord commended his blessing, even life forevermore. The Hebrew psalm here, Hine matov hu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. We sing it. And the last words here, it says, for there the Lord commanded his blessing. Sham et siva Adonai et abracha. There, when there is unity among the people of God, God commanded his blessing. Oh, no wonder. At times we don't enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because everyone goes to his own way. Everyone has his own theology. Everyone has his own opinion. And the moment we submit to the written word of God and allowing him to work in our lives, it changes us. It molds us and it makes us desire to bring together the people of God, to build them up. And as one man, as they gather together, they were able to begin to rebuild, first of all, to set up their altar, and then to build the temple in the house of the Lord. By the way, brothers and sisters, how do you think the church began? Ecclesia, in Acts chapter 2. You notice the first verse of Acts chapter 2 and verse 1? It says there, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Do you know in the city of Jerusalem where the body of Messiah was formed some 2,000 years ago, when they gathered together, they came with one accord. But how far are we today with the way it begins? How far is the church today with the way it begins? And look at our people Israel, how far the people of Israel is today with the way it began. But together is essential to build up the people of God. You know what the Lord said to us in his prayer in John 17? I pray, Father, that they may be one as we are one. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace, to work at it. And we have to be careful. If there is any one of us cause division, you don't expect the blessing of the Lord. He will never bless those who divide among the people of God. And you know, there are homes divided, there are family divided, there are friends who have divided. This is the work of the enemy. And here we see when they start afresh and they take their place in accordance with the word of God, verse 1, they gathered as one man. Imagine what joy it gave the heart of God to see these returning remnant broken, because they look around, they see everything is falling to pieces. But they had determination, we are going to start afresh. We are going to be builders. And they came there as one man. It reminds us of what's going to happen in the future when Israel is going to be restored. And Israel as a nation going to be one nation, united, gathered around our Lord Jesus the Messiah, Israel's King. And for you and I today, the church is so divided and scattered. Let us be in our own hearts motivated to say, Lord, I'm going to seek to be a builder, and I'm going to seek to unite and not to divide, to bring people together closer to the Lord in accordance with your word, rather than to cause people to stumble and to disperse the people of God. For this, God will discipline those that are doing, having such an attitude such as this. He disciplined his people Israel, he disciplining the church, and he will discipline you and I if we don't have the right attitude. But now notice, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 2, Israel building the altar of the God of Israel. And I want you to notice that they began with the altar. Verse 2, it says, then stood Yeshua, and by the way, that man by the name of Yeshua, he was a priest. And his Hebrew name is exactly similar to the Hebrew name of our Messiah, Yeshua. Yud, Shin, Vav, Ein in Hebrew. Not Yehoshua, Not Yeshayahu, not Hoshea, but Yeshua. Very similar to the Hebrew name of Yeshua the Messiah. It means salvation. But nevertheless, you can see even by his name, you can get a message. He wanted to help his people to bring them into harmony and salvation. And so Yeshua, the son of Yotzadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shaltiel, and his brethren, they built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offering thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. The first thing they do is they setting up an altar. What is an altar? The Hebrew word for altar is mizbeach. Mizbeach is simply a place whereby you lay upon it an animal, a sacrifice. Blood must be shed. An animal that is innocent must be killed. And therefore it is enable a sinner and a restored believer to have fellowship with God. You and I cannot approach God without the altar. In other words, they've learned a principle that had been taught already many years ago in the Hebrew scripture. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. They've learned this truth that it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And they learned the truth that you and I know it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And he learned the truth that the blood of Yeshua the Messiah cleanses us from all sin. And notice it says here, as it is written. In other words, it was already written in the Hebrew scripture. According it says, in the law of Moses, the man of God, Kakatuv betorat Moshe Isha Elohim. They simply said, wait a minute, how are we going to approach God now? Well, Moses already wrote about it in the Hebrew scriptures. And by the way, they didn't have the book of Ezra yet. They didn't have the book of Nehemiah yet. They didn't have the book of Esther yet. They didn't have the book of Malachi yet, or all the prophets, Haggai or Zechariah. They didn't have this because they were living out this here. They didn't have all the scriptures that you and I have today. But they had the law of Moses, and it was sufficient for them to obey the law of Moses. You know, I'm troubled sometimes when people just don't simply read the Bible for what it says. And they say, well, it is written. And instead of simply submitting to what the Word of God says, they have their own opinion. Do you think God needs our own opinion? Do you think we're going to change the mind of God who have already written to us in His Word, thus saith the Lord? Sometimes we hear people saying, you believers in Yeshua the Messiah says that the only way to heaven is through Yeshua the Messiah. Well, I don't say it. The Bible says it. If there was another way, why would he die for us on the tree? Why he would have to become a sacrifice for a sin of this world? Why? Well, there is no other way. God said, the only way to receive forgiveness of sin, it is on the basis of the sacrifice. The sacrifices pointed to the sacrifice of the Messiah, and in the fullness of time, he came and he died for us on the tree, on the cross, and he became a substitute, a just one for you and I, the unjust. So notice how important we find here in verse 2 that it is in accordance with the word of the Lord. You notice what was the purpose? In order to offer burnt offerings. I love this thought because the first offering in Leviticus chapter 1 is the burnt offering. What is the difference between the burnt offering or the peace offering or the trespass offering or the sin offering or the meal offering? Well, the difference is that the first offering speaks of the work of the Messiah totally for the pleasure of God. That's why the word burnt offering comes from the Hebrew word olah. The word olah is that which is rises up to God and it pleases God. It reminds him of what Yeshua, the Messiah, his son, was going to accomplish when he died for mankind upon the cross, upon the tree. And so the first thing they do, they build an altar. They are united together. And I want you now to notice in verse 3a that they understood Israel built an altar knowing that only God can deliver them from their enemies. Because you notice what it says in verse 3a, and they set up the altar upon his basis. Why? For fear was upon them because the people of those countries. Now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you that about 722 BC, Israel were taken by the Assyrian. At about 586 BC, the temple was burned and Judah was taken to Babylon. And so now, when they are coming back, they found out that in the area where they live, it is in Samaria, later on in Judea and all the area, there were already many other people placed in this place. According to 2 Kings chapter 17, other people from all other nations came and dwelt already there. And these people were not lovers of the Jewish people. We call them today the Samaritan, the Shomronim. They were a mixed breed. They believe in the God of Israel, but they had their own gods as well. They are what you call a mixture. It's a mixture of some of them were Israelis mixed with the unbelieving Gentiles, but it was a mixture of faith in the living God, but also in many other gods as well. And they became the enemies. So these Jewish people, when they're coming back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, they immediately find themselves with opposition. Now, you know what? If any one of us will want to continue to follow the Lord and to go on the basis of His word and to follow Him, you will find out immediately that you will have opposition. You will find very quickly. Those of us who just became believers can honestly say, well, I've just trusted in Yeshua the Messiah, and I find out very quickly that the world around me don't like me for one reason or another. Enemies you find, people who don't understand you, and people who don't want to hear what you have to say. And you will notice it very quickly. When I want the word of God, I will always find those who will oppose that which I'm seeking to do in accordance with the word of God.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.